What would you do if someone you thought was dead came back to life? Are there ancient Haitian rituals that can lead to reanimation? And what if there were scientific studies that laid the groundwork for this to be possible? Today, we test the believability of zombies.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. We are both back in Ohio. We're in my attic. There's like a nice soft light coming in.
Yeah, no more winter scaries.
No more winter scaries. No more darkness while recording. But also the heat.
Sweat's coming back.
The sweat is coming back. It's going to be like a pool in here.
Yeah. Every episode in the summer, I'm going to take my shirt off.
Perfect. I'm excited because this is a topic I love so much. It's a topic I have loved so much.
Zombies.
I'm glad that I grew up in the fad, the zombie fad.
Yeah.
It's actually really ironic because when I was really young, not like 10, I wanted to see more zombies in media, and then it happened, and it was almost like, I'm too cool for this now. Like, I was almost annoyed because everybody became obsessed with zombies.
There's a lot of zombie stuff.
It's like when you, and not that zombies are underground, but it's like when you love a band, and then they blow up with that hit single, and then everybody's like, oh, it's my favorite band. And
yeah.
Like, no, it's my favorite band.
What's the thing now? What's the horror thing now?
I would say a lot of, I feel like more psychological. There's a name for it, and I found it. You know how sometimes they name movies, like, or like a show, like types of movies, and it's like, I always catch it too late. I can't, how do I want to describe it? Right now, the horror movie scene is seeing a lot of horror movies that have social commentary, like Get Out.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Like Get Out, Us, Everything But You Were in Feel, the one with the Midsommar. That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
But anyway, I love zombies. I love zombie horror movie games. I like horror zombie games. I like, you know, Left 4 Dead, Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 actually had Ganados. They weren't zombies. But Outbreak, you know, they came back in 7 or 8. Or I guess it was 2. I'm talking like, I trust me, I know what I'm talking
about. Call of Duty Zombies?
I didn't play that.
I did. It's still huge.
Did you? Zombies?
I wasn't very good at it, but yeah.
Yeah. Left 4 Dead, though, I spent so much of my life playing Left 4 Dead. Started playing a little Back 4 Blood.
You know. I wasn't a big fan of Left 4 Dead because you couldn't aim.
Yeah.
That was my problem with it.
And then Walking Dead obviously came out and made everything huge. Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, Dance of the Dead, Automaton Transfusion, Flight of the Dead.
There's that one new movie on Netflix about zombies.
With a Batista.
Yeah.
I watched Army of the Dead.
Yes.
Great movie. Warm Bodies.
We can just keep going and going.
Yeah. 28 weeks later, I love zombies. This is a topic I'm very excited about. But it's also interesting, and it's kind of weird to like talk about this because I feel like it's surface level. It's like, yeah, they're not real. End of the episode. Unbelievable. Thanks for coming. I'm not going to say that they're believable, but I think that there's some interesting things to discuss. Let me put it that way. Also, zombies have, and we talked about this before, but I think it was on Patreon. I don't think it was on here. One of the worst deaths that I can imagine, where they pick you up and they just start ripping open your stomach.
That happens in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
To the guy with the glasses.
Also happens in Dance of the Dead. Oof. But anyway, we're going to refresh, remind people, and for the 1% out there that don't know what zombies are, we'll give an overview. We're going to go into the history, which I hope I got it right. There's always, I'm a victim to the research on the interweb. And then we're going to go into some history examples.
Okay.
And then we're going to go into possibilities, like what could actually cause a zombie outbreak.
Yeah, we're going to touch on the Haitian stuff?
Some way, I combed through the universe of the Reddit world. And I found a potential zombie personal encounter, which is just, we'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
But let's move on. Let's get into this. Okay, so little refresher, and for those 1% of you out there, probably less than 1%.
If you were born actually on
today.
Yeah.
If you're in the back seat facing backwards in a baby carrier and your mom or dad is driving you right now and you're listening and you're conscious and you don't know what a zombie is, quick breakdown. But let's do this. Let's find out Charlie's knowledge here. When I say zombie, give me some descriptors. Give me some characteristics. What comes to mind for you?
When I say zombie, you say B.
B. Wait. OJ.
IO.
AI. It was close. It was
just
close.
That's just inherently trained in me.
Magic. Two different episodes. Just yeah, what comes to mind when you think of zombies?
Face rot. Yeah. Skin rot.
Yeah.
Dirty clothes. Chompers.
No dry cleaners.
No.
No dentures.
Teeth. Slow moving, I prefer, to the fast moving.
To the rage virus ones.
Yeah. No thoughts. Lots of groaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That's really good. And I think that hits the nail on the head. I think that's what a lot of people envision. Obviously, there's like two camps. There is like the, you know, George Romero slow shuffling zombies versus like the 28 weeks later rage virus zombies. This is going to definitely lean more towards slow, shambling, mindless. But I think it's still good to mention that. Also, when I say zombie, you say or whatever. And then you have the end, they say go meet. That seems so appropriate for the Hillshire.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor. But what I wrote down, very similar, you hit on a lot of it, is slow, shambling, hunger for flesh, sometimes brains, moaning, and getting changed when bitten, right?
Yes.
It almost is like that werewolf narrative where if you get infected, like in The Walking Dead, it was like you got the flu and you had to die and then you came back. Sometimes in some films, some media, it's more immediate where you get bit and then before you die, you start turning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is. But that's kind of the general idea. It's a corpse reanimating as a mindless walking entity that shuffles around, strong desire to eat human flesh, which ties into our hidden fears of cannibalism.
Did you ever see the meme about, I think, I'm not getting political, it's just about Lindsey Graham, the congressman, and they are senator. One of those two.
Know who you're talking about, so I can't.
Lindsey Graham from like South Carolina or something.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Because you're interrupting me, so I feel like it's fair.
That's fair.
The reason I seem so cheerful all the time, it's not because I actually am. It's because I don't pay attention to the news. And that makes me less informed, but happier. Now continue.
I could see. But there's like a meme. It's like he looked like really bad one day. And the meme was, he looks like the person in the zombie movie that got bit and didn't tell anybody.
There's always one of them too. You know what I mean? Because they're just... Oh, I'm fine. Like, dude, your jaw just fell off. Oh, let me pick that up real quick.
I'll post that meme on Facebook.
There you go. All right, so now let's get into the history of zombies. So, very apropos, a lot of this information was pulled from history.com.
Cool.
And Medium. No Ranker or BuzzFeed. So, the idea of zombies and people coming back from the dead have been around for a really long time. Archaeologists even found ancient graves where dead bodies were like pinned down with like rocks and rope and stuff to keep them from coming back.
Whoa, that's not how that works.
No. Have you seen the meme where it's like if the dead kid did come back, it would look like a prom because everybody would be in their nicest suits and stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
If I die, well, when I die, I guess I should say, put me in some joggers. Shit's comfortable.
No, you love joggers so much.
I do love joggers.
Probably a nice graphic space tee.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It can be even like small because I'm going to lose all my fat. If I don't lose my fat by the time I come back as a zombie, just shoot me in the head.
You would like, still have a little double chin.
Little double chin. Like, oh, my abs are, well, my abs aren't showing, my ribs are showing, but I still don't have a jaw. So the word zombie apparently was the word, not like the idea. The word was created by a poet named Robert Southey in 1819. But the actual origin of what we think of as a zombie and what we as people took over here, the idea of a zombie, came from Haiti. So not that the idea of people coming back from the dead is fun. I mean, this aspect of what we're doing right now, it's fun because it's fun to think about. It's fun in movies and games. But obviously the idea of it itself isn't pleasant. But one iteration of the idea that's even more tragic is kind of like the implication that, like, some people believe that the folklore of it came from the 17th century in West Africa when slaves were transported to Haiti to work on plantations. So it's like the idea that these terrible, brutal conditions made them zombies. Like, they were nothing more than zombies because of their situations.
Okay.
Now, on the more supernatural side of things, Haitian folklore claims that zombies are a dead person that is physically revived by the act of necromancy, Did I say that correctly?
Yeah,
I
know necromancy. Yeah. That's a D&D word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did I roll right and say it correctly?
Absolutely.
It's a form of black magic.
Okay.
So the ritual would be conducted by a Haitian witch or sorcerer, which is known as a bakor. I've heard bukor or bakor. Watched multiple videos. The core is the main part. However you want to say the B-O part, that's up to you. But the person is brought back to life and has no free will. They are completely at the whim and the disposal of the bakor. It seems like there's kind of a riff between the voodoo community and bakors, but also there's a lot of people who post videos that are like, here's my name, I am a bakor. So I don't know if it's changed. I don't know if there's like less serious versions, or like if there can be like, there's good and bad in everyone. I don't know if they're like naturally bad, or if it's just like those type of people that can do this. But that's just kind of what was tied to the folklore that I saw. Those were the people that were bringing Haitian people back from the dead.
I think there's a lot of like inside communities in this kind of thing. Like there's a lot of like this group, this subset over here versus this subset, and there's another subset over there. I think there's a lot of that kind of thing.
Right. And again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not in the voodoo culture community. I've never been to Haiti. This is just what I found through my research. So if there's anyone more educated than us, hit us up.
Yeah, right. I was raised Catholic, so.
Yeah. One article that I found mentioned that bakors traditionally use herbs, fish, other random animal parts, bones, and tetrodotoxin in their zombie powders, which that part is a deadly neurotoxin, which is found in pufferfish.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's going to be a while before my wife hears this because she's behind our episodes, but there's a pufferfish. They serve pufferfish.
You wanted to eat pufferfish.
I still want to try it. I do.
Are you worried you're going to become a zombie?
No, not really.
What if they're like, all right, you know what? Our new Haitian chef makes an excellent pufferfish.
I would say let's try it. Honestly, I do want
to
try it, though.
Really. I would wear a suit just in case you become a zombie, because you got to look to the nines.
Yeah, I will.
The idea is that if a non-lethal dose is given, then it doesn't kill the person. It just puts them out, and it kind of gives them that coming back state.
Oh,
so they get
okay.
to be, they don't die, they come back, but they're like off. So they have difficulty walking, they're in a very intense mental fog. So they have zombie-like qualities, but technically they didn't die this powder that was given to them. But mostly like the pufferfish neurotoxin.
Yeah,
it just kind of puts them out, and then they come back, and they're just in a dazed
kinda puts
sense.
Them like
I don't know how long that lasts.
Like a Juliet from Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I think what it seems like to me is that there's this folklore that these people can bring people back from the dead, whereas here's more of an explanation of what's actually happening, which is, like, I feel like it's so crazy if that's actually happening.
Oh, for sure.
And on the less physical side of things, Haitian voodoo also apparently believes that a bakor can capture a zombie astral, which isn't taking the physical person, it's taking more so the person's soul, then makes the bakor more powerful because they harbor it and they use it and just...
What do they use it for?
I don't know, maybe spell casting or more powders, the ability to summon pufferfish.
That's kind of... Oh boy, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Okay, speaking of pufferfish again... I don't know if you know this.
I do. Are we going to do an episode on pufferfish? There's a lot of passion coming.
I mean, I enjoy pufferfish. But I know that, you know how humans use recreational drugs?
Some of them,
Some humans people. Use recreational drugs.
Snoop Dogg.
yes. But there have been studies that find that dolphins purposely stress pufferfish to kind of use as a recreational drug. They don't eat it. They like... pass it back and forth to each other.
Wow.
And it secretes this, like, almost like a hallucination for them.
No, and based on what we're talking about right now, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's like, I feel like when it comes to other mammals, or like, when they talk about, like, chimpanzees and elephants, or not elephants, when they talk about elephants are different. When they talk about chimpanzees and you talk about dolphins, it feels like there's so many ways that those two specifically relate to humans. Obviously, when you go down chimpanzees and apes and all that stuff, that naturally there's...
Yeah.
Distinctions. But to me, it always seems like those are the two that are like very similar to humans in certain ways. So that is a light overview history of zombies, what we think about them now, and coming from the Haitian voodoo culture community. Just to reiterate, again, this is stuff I found online. I'm not saying it's true. I didn't think of it myself. But now let's move on to potential examples of zombies. So we're going to stay in Haiti for a second, because naturally that's where it came from. But a lot of what is reported, discussed, theorized from the United States about zombies is because in the early 1900s, from like 1915 to 1934, a bunch of United States Marines were sent to Haiti to pretty much, they were there for financial and political reasons and okay. invasion, and we were really good at that.
Yep.
Woodrow Wilson was like, hey, they got stuff, and I want it.
Woody Wilson?
Yeah, Woody Wilson.
Gotcha.
Not Woody Harrelson.
No.
Woody Wilson. But while they were there, because, you know, it's like, we don't have culture. We you know, we like mm-hmm. ham sandwiches and mayonnaise. you know, they're just experiencing this new culture, and they're culture shock, and yeah. they're taking it all in. But while they're there, they start reported seeing Haitian zombies. Apparently, one of the I don't know if he was a Marine. I don't want to put that on him. Somebody who was there named William Seabrook, who was like an author. He wrote Magic Island, The Magic Island in 1929,
really?
Which was really heavily based on his experiences while he was there in Haiti. And it also kind of helped to bring some of the zombie culture here to the United States. Now, I haven't read this book.
I haven't either, but it sounds really interesting.
Yep.
The Magic Island.
And then about a decade later, or a couple years after they left, in 1937, while researching folklore in Haiti, author and anthropologist Zora Neale Hurston encountered the case of a woman who actually appeared in the village, and it was somebody that claimed to have died before.
What the f***?
Yeah, so the family, her family, claimed that she was Felicia Felix Mentor, and she had died and been buried in 1907 at the age of 29, but she came to them again when Zora was there in 1937, so 30 years later, and Zora wrote, "What is more, if science ever gets to the bottom of voodoo in Haiti and Africa, it'll be found that some important medical secrets still unknown to medical science give it its power rather than the gestures of ceremony." So she's saying, unquote. So she's saying some stuff is going down over there. Now, this is obviously almost 100 years ago now, which is yeah. crazy. I still think of like 1900 as 100 years ago compared to like 1922. Let's move on to our next person, Wade Davis. So several decades after Hurston's work, the anthropologist, an ethnobotanist, Wade Davis, traveled to Haiti in 1982, and as a result of his investigations, claimed that a living person could be turned into a zombie by two special powders being introduced into the bloodstream, typically through an open wound. And I don't know if the wound was already there. That's how they pick the people.
Okay.
Somebody trips, stubs their toe. They're like, all right, put his name down.
Or you bleed when you stub your toe?
If your nail gets f***ed up.
Oh my God.
It's been a long time, man. I could not enjoy the ocean for the first time I was ever there because I stubbed my toe.
Did you like bash your toe?
I walk looking down now. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe back then I was a normal person. I looked forward when I walked. And maybe from that experience, now I just keep my head down.
Did you stub your toe? I don't think I've ever opened a wound in my foot.
I was 4.
Oh, all right.
Jeez. You got soft feet when you're 4. You haven't walked much then.
Sorry, you were saying.
That's okay. Or they're cutting people open, and they're like, "You're gonna be my zombie. You're chiseled. I'm not waiting for you to get cut because you're cut, and I need you to start building shit for me as my zombie."
In my theater class, we watched a ritual from Haiti.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Zombies?
I don't think it was zombies. It's just like a ritual. Like okay. But it was, they like took the rooster's head, and they.
I don't like that.
It was intense.
You sure that wasn't just a farm in North Dakota?
No, it was a Haitian ritual. Okay. It was very cool.
So the first powder, because remember you said there were two different powders that they were being combined to cause these zombie like effects in people that he was witnessing.
Yeah,
which it's surprising to me that they were letting him witness this, but I wasn't there, so I don't know. So the first powder was, we already kind of mentioned it, the tetrodotoxin.
What color is that? Do you know?
No idea.
I was just curious.
No idea. And the second powder consisted of deliriant drugs, which makes sense, right?
Delirium?
Like, I'm delirious.
Oh, okay.
It's a deliriant.
Okay.
It seems like a fake word. Totally might be. But it's that's what it was. But combined, these powders would induce a death-like state where they would obviously be very susceptible to the Pecora's whim. Now, this process was described by Davis where it would like, it was death-like, but you didn't die. It's still not fitting the bill of what we think of zombies in pop culture, where you're dead.
Yeah,
you're right. Dead and mm-hmm. buried and gone. Even though they are saying sometimes people are buried, but it's not like you're actually reanimating and you're a lifeless corpse walking, looking for brains. This is more like your death is suspended.
Okay.
And then you're so like
a coma.
Yeah. They don't say that at all, but that's kind of what I was thinking. No, it's what I was thinking as well. It's okay. Just, that's why I thought it was interesting that it wasn't brought up, but it's like suspended death followed by a quote reawakening, and then you're just in this like psychotic state. And obviously that plays into their folklore and beliefs of what a zombie is, so it works. It's just like, it, to me, it feels like two different things happening. But it's also, I'm basing that on my pop culture ideas in the United States of what a zombie is. Either way, still crazy, right? So let's move on to our next potential zombie encounter experience. It's not an encounter, it's a reported experience. Okay. So this is the case of, I hope I don't butcher this, Clervius Narcisse.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is a Haitian man named Clervius. He entered a local hospital with severe respiratory problems in 1962.
Okay.
Oh, it is in here. Here you go. He slipped into a coma.
Ah,
and he was declared dead and was actually buried shortly thereafter, as most dead people are that aren't cremated.
Correct.
Then, similar to the previous experience we talked about 20 years later in the 1980s, Haitian man who claimed to be Clavius escaped a sugar plantation after forcefully working there for 2 years. And he said he was given drugs that literally turned him into a zombie, where he was forced to follow instructions.
Wow. And that's 20 years later?
Yeah, it's 20 years later. So, and he's claiming he was only there as like a zombie slave for 2 years, but who knows what, I mean, maybe he was coming to for those last 2 years. How many years? I don't know. It's, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's wild to think about. Did they dig him up like right after? Like,
no idea.
That's so crazy. That took place in Haiti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
And that was in the 1900s?
Yeah, like 60s and the 80s. This is like 40 years ago. And that's then 60 years ago.
Terrifying.
Yes. So, this is something you always ask for. You haven't asked for it yet, but I figure maybe you would have got there. But I'm going to jump the gun and I'm going to tell you. These next three, I'm going to read verbatim. They are medical records.
Okay.
From the 90s, like 96 and 97.
Okay, I'm excited.
They use, what's it called when a person doesn't want you to use their real name?
Alias?
Yeah, alias. They use the letters. I think it's probably their first and last initial.
Anagram.
Yeah. So this was published in the Lancet Medical Journal, but I found them on gizmodo.com. There's three of them. You ready?
Yes.
One, F.I. was around 30 years old when she died after a short illness and was buried by her family the same day in the family tomb next to her house. 3 years later, she was recognized by a friend wandering near her village. Her mother confirmed her identity by a facial mark, as did her 7-year-old daughter, her siblings, other villagers, her husband, and the local priest. She appeared mute and unable to feed herself. Her parents accused her husband of zombifying her, parentheses, he was jealous of her after she had an affair, parentheses, that's the Haitian TMZ. After a local court authorized the opening of her tomb, which was full of stones, her parents were undecided whether to take her home, and she ended up being admitted to a psychiatric hospital. Outside of that, she was diagnosed with catatonic schizophrenia.
Oh my God. What? Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And this is listed in a medical journal.
That's fucking nuts.
All right. So here's the second one. Again, alias. W.D., 26 years old, was the eldest son of an alleged secret policeman under Duvaliers. Duvaliers? I'm not familiar with their... I don't even know our own politician.
It's French. I don't know.
Yeah. Regime. The father was our principal informant together with W.D.'s mother and other villagers. When he was 18, he suddenly became ill with a fever. Quote, his eyes turned yellow. He smelled like death. And his body swelled up.
Damn.
So suspecting sorcery, his father asked his older brother to obtain advice from a Bokor, but WD died after 3 days and was buried in a tomb on family land next to the house of a female cousin. The tomb was not, as was customary, watched that night. And then 19 months, which is interesting that it's customary to watch the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when this is in your culture,
mm-hmm.
But 19 months later, WD reappeared at a nearby cockfight, recognized his father, and accused his uncle of zombifying him. That's the end of that.
Wow.
And at a later point, WD was diagnosed with epilepsy and organic brain syndrome, which I feel like we all have organic brains.
Organic brain syndrome?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I definitely have an organic brain.
I do too. I think I do.
I don't know what that means.
Is mine processed? Mine has the stuff you spray on vegetables to stop them from getting bugs. Okay, so our third and last little tidbit from this medical journal. MM, age 31, was a very, very friendly and quiet, shy girl, but reportedly not very bright. I don't know why that. You need to say that, but
it's rude.
At the age of 18, MM had joined some friends in prayers for a neighbor who had been zombified. But she herself then became ill with diarrhea, fever, her body swelled up, and she died in just a few days. The family suspected revenge sorcery. After 13 years, MM reappeared in the town market 2 months before we met her, we being the people writing this journal article, with an account of having been kept as a zombie in a village 100 miles to the north and having given birth to a child to another zombie, or perhaps what they're suggesting maybe a bakor. But once her bakor died, they no longer had any control of her.
Oh, okay.
And his son released her, and she traveled 100 miles south on foot.
Whoa, it's a long journey.
It was considered that MM was living with fetal alcohol syndrome, which isn't tied to her experience. It's interesting that they're telling their story, and then the medical journal is also like, by the way, she has this.
Here's some medical stuff.
Yeah, here's this, here's that. All right, so that wraps up our historical potential zombie examples from history. So now let's look at kind of the nature of zombies. And by that, I mean science. Not really humans yet, but something just as creepy. Okay, so do you have a feeling where the science-y aspect of this is going to go? Because I feel like this is something tied to zombies in certain ways.
Could it go like, if the right disease hit the brain at the right point, it could make you zombie?
We're going to kind of, I don't want to say we're getting into that soon, but kind of. This is, we're going to talk about parasites.
No.
Yeah, which is very, very real.
No.
And this information I'm going to be talking about here is pulled from Science News for Students.
I just read this book.
.org.
Called The Troop, which was about a super hyper-aggressive tapeworm.
Ooh.
And it was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And scary as shit.
Yeah, it's like the Monsters Inside Me TV show.
Yeah.
You ever seen Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
The Big Bugs?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Or Alien. Shit. Alien. Yeah.
All right. So, and again, this is from sciencenewsforstudents.org. Quote, a parasite lives inside or on another creature known as its host. A parasite may be a fungus, a worm, or another tiny creature. All parasites eventually weaken or sicken their hosts. Sometimes the parasite kills or even eats its host. But death of the host is not the freakiest thing. A parasite might get its host to die in a certain way or be eaten by a certain creature. And this is where like the zombiness comes into play.
Oh.
In order to accomplish these tricks, if you want to call them that, some parasites have evolved the ability to hack into the host's brain and influence its behavior in very specific ways.
Are you talking about the bugs?
Talking about, what do you mean?
The bugs.
What bug?
The bugs that do that shit.
Yeah, parasites. Yeah. I have a couple examples.
Well, no, like bugs inside, like ants, and they climb up.
Oh, ants are. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's many examples in nature.
All right, I'm
excited. That's what this is about, because it's kind of like the mind control aspect of it, right? Because cool. It's like, this is a very real thing.
We gonna call your sister?
Nope. If she's listening, though, I think she'll enjoy this. Actually, she just sent me a text message, because I'm a Swiftie, so is my wife, and there's somebody out there that just discovered a new millipede, and apparently, like, I think it was a millipede. I don't want to get this wrong. Give me a second. And I'm about to tie those two things I just said together, and it's gonna make sense when you hear it. Yeah, okay, So a new millipede species was found, and because the person who found it was getting through, like, COVID and all those times, listening to Taylor, in honor of her, he named some of the species after Taylor's, I think, songs.
Oh, that's...
But anyway, we're here to talk about parasites.
Taylor's like, what the f***?
That's the blank space beetle. A millipede?
The cardigan.
What happens when the millipede lands on you? You just gotta shake it off. Anyways, I'm talking about parasites, and a lot of researchers have been trying to find out, like, what it does, like, what kind of chemicals it releases, what it does once it gets inside the body of the host to make it behave in a certain way. Because I think it's pretty self-explanatory when a parasite gets on a host and starts feeding off of it and, you know, takes nutrients. But the idea to actually change its behavior is crazy. And this feels like, for anybody who like played Resident Evil, and like throughout the game you're finding notes and it's like teaching you about things. Reminds me of Luis Serra from Resident Evil 4. Me llamo Luis Serra. He was doing, because I don't need to go into the Resident Evil thing, but like the Ganados have parasites. Anyway, parasite gets the host body to bend to its will, putting its life at risk. For instance, the horsehair worm needs to be in water, so if it goes into an insect, it will make the insect dive into the water, which will then make the insect drown, and the insect is choosing to do this itself, and it dies because this parasite, this worm inside it, is forcing it to. Terrifying and crazy. Fun fact, I used to get the words paradise and parasite mixed up when I was younger.
Okay.
It's that song, that really old song about It's a Lovely Paradise. But I used to sing It's a Lovely Parasite. It's like the movie Clue. Anyway, now I don't do that anymore. Now I get parasite and politician. It's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the parasite. So there's one called the, I'm gonna destroy this. Toxoplasma gondii.
Oh, you almost got in one.
Yep. It's a single-celled creature that can only complete its life cycle inside a cat.
Oh.
But it doesn't start inside a cat. Okay. It doesn't go from A to C. It goes from A to B to C. And what is B? Rat.
Ah, okay.
So it's got to live. It has to like mature to get into the cat. So to mature, it's smart enough somehow to know it needs to get inside a rat. So once it does get inside the rat, it makes the rat behave in a certain way that it'll be out and about, easy to find, and pretty much not run away and allow itself to get killed and eaten by a cat to get inside the cat. Don't know what happens after that. I think, but that's like people talk about with like cat litter and stuff like that, how it's like it can be really bad for people.
If you have an outside cat.
Which I don't.
Yeah.
In Thailand, there's a species of fungus, which is what you were referring to earlier. I don't think you would have came up with this name because I can't come up with it. I'm looking at it. It's like Opiocordyceps.
Wow. No. Yep, that sounds like a muscle group. I don't work out.
It's right by the trapezius. But it forces an ant to climb about 20 centimeters, 8 inches of a plant to, and then it bites down on a leaf. And it does this so when it's at the sun is at the highest point so that it can be swooped and caught up.
By a bird.
Yeah. I mean, there's fish that get parasites. I don't have the name of it written down. I just know through the research. There's fish that get parasites that they swim and they splash near the surface to draw attention. So
they can distress.
Yeah. And get picked up by a bird. There are spiders that like weave webs around themselves so that the hosts can be like protected.
Really?
Like parasites getting inside spiders, and then the parasite eats the inside of the spiders.
That is the worst.
Those ones are off the cuff. I don't have the scientific names for them, but those are source. Trust me, bro. Okay, so before we get to the personal encounter, let's talk about a couple of ideas, like, you know, how I like to throw in there about, like, what ifs, what could cause a zombie outbreak, or at the very least, zombie-like behavior.
The worst case scenario.
Yeah. One, we already talked about it, but I just want to include it here to validate it. Voodoo, right? Voodoo
yes.
Rituals. Touch on this again, but maybe this is some type of black magic or voodoo ritual that's bringing people back. Whether it's powders or it's sorcery.
That's definitely the most paranormal option, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, actually. Two, viruses, right? Unknown viruses. Some experts believe that viruses are what will ultimately lead to the very first zombie outbreak.
Love that thought.
Yeah. Dr. Ben Newman, a professor of virology at the University of Reading, believes that a virus such as rabies or toxoplasma could evolve and greatly impact humanity. Mm. Apparently, he told Yahoo, a very reputable, second best search engine, there are parasites out there that get close to making actual walking around zombies.
Rip, unquote. Yahoo Answers.
Yeah.
I remembered what I was going to say.
What was it?
That
makes me think of us doing that trip to the witch's grave, Yahoo Answers. But
it's debated in the scientific community if viruses are actually alive because of how they reproduce, because they have to be inside of something else to reproduce, because that's one of the qualifications for life.
Right. Okay.
To be able to survive by yourself.
Interesting.
That's all I want to say.
Do you have a strong stance?
I would argue. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I have no idea. I guess if you want my two cents, I guess I would say no, because it doesn't meet the qualifications.
Yeah. staying on the idea of viruses, and the melting of permafrost, or like the ideas of like the Arctic and all this stuff, it's like all these viruses that humanity has never had to face because it's been frozen, ice age, all that stuff. As things melt, whether you believe it's global warming or just natural earth cycles, or if you don't believe it's happening at all, regardless. But like the idea of these viruses that we've never experienced before, possibly unfreezing, coming back to life, if they are life, and then, you know, impacting us, you know, is there potentially a virus out there that could cause us to become zombie-like? Now, we would have never experienced it, so this can't be like something that, well, I don't want to say something we couldn't have ever. If it's been frozen this long, we probably haven't, or nobody in recorded history has.
Right.
So it's not like that could have influenced the origin of zombie, as we talked about, like with the Haiti voodoo community. But we don't know. I mean, there could be crazy stuff.
Right. Stuff. Dinosaurs. You have no idea what the dinosaurs were dealing with.
Probably, yeah.
Zombie raptors.
They had more than first world problems, I'm sure. So the next few are things that I pulled from Lewis Gale Physician site.
Okay.
The website. Sleeping sickness. Quote, while sleeping sickness is most often found in sub-Saharan Africa, this is a good one to be aware of if you're a world traveler. It's caused by microscopic parasites of the species, oh my god, it looks like Tyrannosaurus Rex, Trypanosoma brucei, also known as the testy fly.
Ew.
And initial symptoms, it's not spelled testy the way you think it would. Initial symptoms of sleeping sickness include fever and chills, joint pain, itching, and headaches. Later symptoms occur once the parasite invades the brain and the central nervous system. This is when the zombie-like symptoms start to set in, which may include poor motor coordination, confusion, behavioral changes, and sleep disturbances.
Oh my god.
If you do not get very quick treatment, this is a fatal disease.
I want to set up a lawsuit against the testy fly.
Testy fly.
That's terrible.
All right, so I'm going to destroy this one too. I got Bacora though, right? Variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Nailed it, I think.
Yeah. So it's this variant, I'm going to put CJ, right? CJ.
Sure.
I already said what it stands for. This disease is caused by eating beef, specifically beef that has been affected with mad cow disease.
I was going to say, is this mad cow?
It's the cow gets a mad cow and then you go to Five Guys and you eat that burger. I don't, because I'm vegetarian.
Oh, but get off your high horse.
Hey, unless you shove it down my throat. Now, it's super, super rare, but it's also super, super fatal. About 300, there's 300 cases each year.
That's not funny, but the way you said it's funny.
And the scary thing is it can affect you for years before it actually gets you, because it basically destroys brain cells.
Oh, okay.
But it can take up to 20 years. Before symptoms start to kick in.
That's like, a whole life.
I know. It's scary. But here's the symptoms, right? And okay, sorry. So it's you have to catch it. It can get you fast once the symptoms come in.
Gotcha.
It can be a long time that you have it before symptoms. But once the symptoms come, that's when it's like, okay, it's quick. Yeah. So the early phase, you have psychiatric symptoms such as anxiety, depression, memory difficulty, and trouble pronouncing words. The middle phase, so about like 7-8 months, neurological symptoms such as a weird gait, which is the way you walk, problems with coordination, odd muscle jerks and stiffness, and impaired speech. And the very, very late phase, muteness and just being immobile.
Man, see, I hate talking about like diseases because I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna die.
Does it make you second guess a burger? Or filet mignon.
No, because I'm going to live my life.
It's funny, because I can say filet mignon because I know the word, but if it was like this testy fly thing, I'd be like, mignon. What note to say?
Yeah, no. No, I mean, diseases aren't going to stop me from living my life.
That's good. I'm not saying you should stop eating meat so that you don't get mad cow disease.
Feels like you are a little bit.
Yeah. What I am saying is it is time for our personal encounter from the wonderful world and very, very truthful world of Reddit.
Okay.
But before we get to it, I do have this. I'm looking at my notes. I forgot about it, but it was kind of funny. So the CDC does kind of have like a funny zombie outbreak guide.
No way.
But it's tongue in cheek.
Okay.
And the way that they view it is zombie outbreak is very fad-ish right now. It's popular pop culture.
Yeah.
So if we can get people to prepare for real life things by joking about it being prepared for a zombie outbreak, it's a win-win, right? They get to have fun. and they get to have a zombie outbreak guide, but really it's a joke and they're preparing you for real stuff. Because mm-hmm. it's not like get a katana and find your friend's farm in,
don't go to
in
Atlanta.
Pierpont, Ohio. Yeah. No, so it's like, this is what the preparation guide includes. It says, get water, 1 gallon per person per day. Food, stock up on non-perishable items that you can eat regularly. Medications, which includes prescription and non-prescription. Tools and supplies, duct tape, battery-powered radios, utility knives. Sanitation and hygiene, bleach and soap and towels. Clothing and bedding, a change of clothes for each family member. Important documents like your driver's license and your passport, which is very vital to zombies.
Yeah.
Birth certificate, just to show that you're not a zombie, I guess. And then first aid supplies, which is funny because they put, although you're a goner if a zombie bites you, you can still use these supplies to treat basic cuts and laceration.
It's true.
So that's fun. But anyway, let's get into this personal encounter story. All right, here is our personal encounter from Reddit. It's going to be a first-person narrative, and I quote, "What I'm about to tell you is probably going to sound something completely unreal, but I swear to you, this is exactly what I saw. A few weeks ago, I was sitting out on my deck, just enjoying some peace and quiet. I live in a small ranch home near Mars, Pennsylvania. My backyard is fairly close to a local cemetery. That's going to come into play later. Anyway, I like to just sit outside, listen to the crickets and everything at night, and put my mind at ease. I'm a firefighter, so when I have a chance to relax, I take it. So, as I'm sitting back with my feet up in the warm early fall air, I see a flash of light up ahead in the cemetery. Now, normally it's a pretty subdued cemetery, but every now and again we'll get some kids that like to wander in and do, honestly, who knows what. Mostly I can hear them laughing and screaming, or like this occasion, I can see a flash of light from a cell phone. I narrowed my eyes, which have adjusted to the dark, to try and make out who's in the cemetery, or at least how many people are there. It looked like two or three shadows, but from my deck it was hard to tell. Then I heard a scream, not the joyful, playful screams I normally hear. A blood-curdling scream of absolute terror. At this point, my firefighter instincts kicked in, and before I knew it, I was rushing from my deck into the cemetery. I can't really explain the intense sense of urgency I felt at that moment, other than just chalking it up to a feeling. I got in the cemetery, and everything felt different. There was a cool breeze that I didn't feel on my deck, and the sound of the crickets were gone. Just silence. Then I saw a person running away from the cemetery. I couldn't really make it out perfectly in the dark, but it looked like a young girl. That must have been who I heard screaming. Before I could call out, I heard twigs snapping and some rustling behind me. I whipped around and, guys, I'm going to do my absolute best to describe what I saw. I saw what I'd like to describe as a man, or what might have been at one time a man. His clothes were tattered, old, and ripped. He had shaggy hair that covered most of his face, but I could see his mouth look mangled, and his skin was incredibly gray. He had dirt all over his pants, and he was hunched over a gravestone. The craziest thing, and I don't know how to explain it, it looked like he had a huge gash in his arm. I couldn't quite see bone, but it was a gnarly cut, and it wasn't bleeding. I don't know how to explain that. I wanted to say something. I wanted to do something, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I was frozen with fear. He moaned something that sounded like a mishmash of vowels, and he looked up at me. There wasn't a ton of moonlight, and his shaggy hair still covered most of his face, but one eye protruded through his bangs, and I swear to you that it was milky white. In that instance, my firefighter instincts were gone. I darted out of the cemetery without looking back, and I locked my doors. Naturally, I couldn't sleep that night. I wanted to call the authorities, but what was I going to tell him? I just ran into Shaun of the Dead. In hindsight, I probably could have said violent homeless man was there, but I was way too freaked. The next day, I mustered all of my courage and went to the cemetery, with a knife in my pocket, of course. It might sound silly, but I spent hours going from grave to grave to see if there were any holes or any graves dug out. I can't explain what I saw, nor have I seen anything since, but it was absolutely terrifying. And I hope I never see another zombie or whatever the hell that was again, unquote. With that, let's go to the discussion. All right, before we get to the discussion, it is time. You hear the music, you know what time it is? It is time we like to thank our newest patrons. As of this week, this recording, we're back on a Thursday, back in Ohio. We would like to thank Victoria, Ariel, Kayla, Gerson, Andrea, Katie, Sydney, and Elizabeth. It's a lot. Thank you all so much for joining our Patreon, supporting the podcast, getting us steps closer to Charlie getting that Believing the Bizarre tattoo.
I'm very excited for that.
Remember, that's at 200 patrons. Once we have 200 patrons, Charlie will be getting a tattoo. I'm going to record it. I don't even care if it takes 3 hours. I'm going to get my camera. I'm going to record it. We'll get coffee or something, chocolate milk. I don't know. We'll make a day of it. It'll be great. But in addition to joining just for the sake of Charlie getting some new ink, we do have extra bonus content on there in case you get caught up. You're like, man, I've binged you guys. I don't know what to do next. YouTube's boring. It's just stale images with wavelengths. What do I do? Patreon. We got quizzes. We have director's cuts. We hang out on Google. We just chat. We watch horror movies together. We respond to your social media responses.
There's an interview coming out.
We interview people who send us their listener submission stories so that we can deep dive into it and they can tell the stories in their own words.
Their perspective. Their first person narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, sometimes I'm not saying we fuck it up, but you know. But anyway, there's a lot of bonus content on there. Charlie and I truly do kind of treat this like a second job. So we're very proud of it. And we truly appreciate every single person, whether you're on Patreon and financially supporting the podcast, or you just listen and engage with us on social media. All of it means so much to Charlie and I. With that said, let's get to the discussion. All right. We're talking zombies, we're talking Resident Evil, we're talking Left 4 Dead, and we're not going to go through all that again. I'm excited. I've been talking for like an hour, so I want to get your thoughts. I want to hear your voice. The people want to hear your voice. Just to lead you, before you kind of go off on your own tangent, what were your thoughts on that encounter story?
The story?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was like, whoa, that's... The description was really good. The description was really like what you think a zombie is.
Very pop culture.
Although the hair... I don't necessarily associate hair with zombies, because there's that thing like your hair grows out or something.
Yeah, is that like your nails and your stuff?
Yeah,
your
nose? Which isn't true. It's just like your skin receding.
Oh.
I love the description and the gash that didn't bleed. But I was thinking while we were in between, one, I wonder if that was actually a spirit representation of what the spirit thought it looked like in death.
Is that something that can happen? Does the spirit have control?
I mean... You've seen scary movies. How scary? Doesn't it go from like a pretty girl to a zombie face in a second?
Well, that's like the joke that's like, how come there's no like very modern ghosts that are wearing like hoodies and JNCO jeans? They're all like Victorian.
Well, no, but like it goes from like a pretty face to a scary face.
In Hollywood. I don't know how that's like typical. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not saying this couldn't be a spirit.
Yeah, that was just my thought. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Especially if you didn't see any graves dug or anything.
I feel like that, like when it comes to, like the rhyme or reason versus of like why a spirit looks the way it does. Like why does a shadow figure look different than somebody? Like is it energy? And it's like if you die and you come back as a ghost, what age are you? Like the age you died?
Yeah.
Younger? You know what I mean? Like the most traumatic part of your life? There's lots of
variations, lots of variables.
He said that he was looking for it, like an open grave, but I wonder if there was a fresh grave.
Yeah.
Because that distinction isn't made. But I just thought, like, I did it just because of due diligence. Yeah. And they're my favorite part of the episodes.
It's a good encounter.
Did not think it was going to happen. No. And it's very, very United States pop culture zombie. It's not like what you find over in Haiti.
I wonder who ran away. Because there's a girl. He didn't say he saw someone else run away. It was just the girl.
Yeah.
We saw several figures. Although maybe he saw it was just the girl in there and he saw the shadow of the zombie.
Yeah, it's not really implied either way. I wonder what she was doing in there. I wonder if she was alone. It, to me, just because obviously I'm putting my own personal touch, it made me think that she was ghost hunting or something or playing around like that.
See, I figured she was fooling around with a guy or something.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I thought.
In Mars.
I was in Mars one time. That's the place to do it.
I was in Mars one time because I wanted to get a Mars rock, and there was a poster for a singles dance. So if you didn't if you didn't make it to the singles dance in time, maybe you head out to the cemetery.
I liked his description. It was really well written, actually.
Yeah, as far as encounters go, I did enjoy that one. But that's, you know, I just want to get your thoughts on that quickly. Uh-huh. It is what it is. So out of all the theories we talked about, what jumps out to you the most?
I mean, I it's in a medical journal that people died and were seen.
Yeah.
It's in a medical journal and they examined the graves and they were gone.
That makes me think of like the reincarnation or like the idea of like having another life where somebody now can remember their previous life, even though it's not. It's literally them. It's the same life. It's the same person, same life. But that's the way I think about it. But it is absolutely crazy to me. And also, like, there are a lot of tombs.
Yeah. Yeah. The virus idea is plausible to me. The neurotoxin is plausible to me. And it happens in nature that animals are controlled to do things they wouldn't think to do.
Which is, it's crazy because it almost has that like cultural feel where it's like, you know, like in America or even like Canada or something where it's like our problems are so different than problems in other countries. And it's like, oh, that could never happen here. You know what I mean? Like that can't happen here. And it's like that mindset where it's like, yeah, it can make a rat get eaten by a cat, but it wouldn't happen to humans. You know what I mean? But you don't know.
No, but could it?
Like we're already like in certain ways, and this is kind of not going off the same path, but in certain ways we are manipulated, like commercials and TV and stuff manipulate you to buy, like marketing people and sales people.
Isn't that you?
It is me. Why do you think you're listening? But that's like manipulation. That's very different than not being able to control yourself.
Yeah. Well, how many times, isn't that the comparison though? You're a zombie on your phone.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's like you're at a concert, something's amazing happening, you look at the crowd, everybody's face
on their glued. Phone.
But it's still a little different because it's just, you literally have the world at your fingertips.
That's true.
Versus, it's kind of making you go against your best interest, but it's not making you get killed. Like it's not something evil, or not evil, because I don't want to call a parasite evil. It's working, it's working for its own best interest.
I do not like parasites.
No, well, I mean, who does? But it's just the idea that this is, like, it is real. And because we haven't found something quite yet, like viruses and things like that, you can't disprove. Like, you don't see it happening right now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it couldn't happen.
That's true.
And there's a lot of moving parts in this episode.
There were.
And I have a final question. But before we get to that, what kind of stuck out to you? Because we were kind of trucking through things. We didn't kind of stop and discuss. Were there anything?
The neurotoxin powder. I think that what sticks out to me the most.
Well, the puffer fish.
So. The puffer fish.
Yeah.
And how it was used in these rituals and zombifying someone.
Yeah.
I think that is, I don't want to say proves it, but I think it makes me really buy into the idea that this could happen to somebody.
It's crazy because normally you get like an off-the-wall idea or an off-the-wall theory, which is like somebody dies and then they come back to life. And you're like, well, that doesn't happen. But then you think about it and it's like, okay, let's like alter the rules a little bit. Like what if it seems like they die and then they come back in a delirious state where they can't control themselves? Like, is that the same thing? Yes and no. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the way you would think of it happening in a horror movie, even though this would be like a horror movie personally to them.
Yeah.
But it's taking what we think of in pop culture of like you die, you come back, and it's kind of putting it in like a real world setting where it's possible. Even if it's not as supernatural as you would maybe like it to be as a paranormal fan, but it's possible, which is just crazy. And it completely changes the way you think about a zombie to a certain degree.
Maybe there is some magic involved with it too.
Totally could. Well, that's why there's two sides.
Yeah.
Because when I was reading through some of the articles, it made it seem like they knew what they were doing because it bought into their folklore.
Yeah.
It'd be like, if you could somehow create a ghost and it fit into what our culture thinks of a ghost enough, like you're able to feed on people's preconceived notions of what a ghost is enough to make your remedy work. So let me ask you this kind of as our closing thoughts before we get to the believability scale. What do you think makes something a zombie? Because I asked you at the top of the episode, but now that we kind of have gone through this, there's kind of multiple, there's like the mindless under a spell or a powder, almost like a slave,
Yeah.
And then there's this reanimation back from the dead. I want to eat brains.
I think to be a zombie, I think you have to have some element of not being able to control yourself. And I would say the insects and the animals that are infected by the parasites are forms of zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think if you don't have control of your own body, then I think that makes you, if something else is making you control your body, then you're a zombie.
Got you. Because I think there's multiple iterations and there's different ideas based on the culture and where you're from and what it is. But I think framing it a certain way will help us kind of break down on the believability scale. But there's so much covered because you could argue that the insect thing, the parasites aren't zombies, but they are real.
Yeah.
You could argue that the voodoo stuff is zombies, but maybe it's not real. And it's just a wide...
But like, what about like fast zombies, right? That's the same thing as like...
The rage virus?
Yeah, that's the same idea. As animals that throw away their instincts for whatever.
Except they're kind of listening to their id, if you think about like the id, the ego, the superego, where they're kind of acting only in their best interest, where the parasite mm-hmm. is forcing the host to act in its best interest.
I guess
so. It's a little different. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like some of the diagnoses we talked about earlier, where you become almost psychotic
mm-hmm.
and you like lose control of like, you know, your behavioral instincts. I'll be honest, I kind of separated the rage virus away from here.
Mm-hmm.
Although, ironically, if you would have asked me before this episode was done, I would have said that the rage virus would have been a lot more believable to me because I would think it'd be coming from a virus,
mm-hmm.
like some type of virus that happens, breaks down like the human aspect of you versus now knowing about like the Haitian voodoo rituals.
Yeah.
Which is, I love zombies. It's actually a really tragic thing, but in media and film, we have the privilege of being able to enjoy it as a form of entertainment.
Yeah. Before we get to the believability scale, we should do something we haven't done in a long time. What is the believability scale?
Oh, wow. That's right, because this is episode 106.
Yeah.
And if you're just catching on, you heard at the top that we rate it. But this is, wow. This is what there's some people that's like, skip, 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 skip.
This is
what we do. We talk about these episodes. You know, we break down the research, the topics, what we think, personal encounters, should we get them. But at the end, me and Charlie, we come out as our own skeptics and we take the topic and we put it on our believability scale, which goes from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable. Now, the majority of them are not unbelievable. Otherwise, this would be a very not good podcast. You probably wouldn't keep listening to us if we thought all this shit was unbelievable. But every now and then, Charlie will bring something like fairies up.
You were just going to say fairies.
And I'll have to slide an unbelievable in there, personally. But that's why there's two of us, and it's good, because we don't always... Sometimes we align, sometimes we're on completely opposite spectrums.
True.
A la fairies. So, with that being broken down, the floor is yours, Charlie.
So, I think I'm going to go, like I said, the things we know, like animals being affected by parasites and the Haitian rituals. And what I said, it's basically the loss of control of your body and giving will to something else. I have to go with believable.
Yeah. See, listen, this is going to be, and I told Charlie off there, but I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you've made it this far in, I said zombies at the top of the episode, but the actual name of this episode is like, could zombies be real? That's going to be that. And that's kind of what I'm thinking of, how we're framing this question.
Mm-hmm.
Could zombies be real? Now, if you don't listen to this episode and you just are following us on Instagram and you see this episode come out and then on the next day you see our believability scale and you see that both Charlie and I said believable, and you're coming into this with like a very pop culture, you know, George Romero zombie, somebody dies, they dig themselves out of their grave,
yeah.
their ribs are exposed and they want to eat your brains, and you see that we put believable, you're probably gonna think it's a hot take, or mm-hmm. we're just so close to,
or
that fandom
bias idiots.
Yeah, like we love the fandom and we want it to be real, which there were times in my life where I thought it'd be fun to,
but you know. Listened and now you know that's not the case.
No, we're going believable because there's examples of it and it's like the potential is there, because the question is, could zombies be real? And I think there's a strong argument that they already are. If you look at, you know, the Haitian voodoo community and that those rituals, and you look at insects and parasites and things like that, and some of these medical journal encounters.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a hot take to say believable. And there's still a chance that, you know, with the viruses that could be coming out in the next hundreds of years, hopefully not our lifetime or our children's lifetime. But, you know, that, or parasites that we don't know about yet, or things that haven't impacted us yet that are, I don't know. It seems like there's a roadmap, that, like the bricks, the road to humans being impacted by parasites this way has already been laid. And there might be some that I didn't even find in my overview research that might already be impacting us that we don't know about. Like, you talked about tapeworms.
Yeah.
It's not making you a zombie, man. But...
No, you're right. But that was a genetically modified parasite, which could be the reason for this happening, too.
Terrifying. But, crazy enough, after an episode about zombies, we have two believables. So that is our episode on whether or not zombies could be real, whether they could be a zombie outbreak. Like I said, I love this topic. Like I have vivid memories. It's like 2005.
Yep.
I'm eating Cheetos. I'm listening to the band Cartel, and I'm looking for a co-op horror game with zombies to play with my sister.
Hours of time spending thinking about what to do during a zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Like, there's that zombie survival guide.
Yeah.
Well, there's a game where you're in a high school, and it's like the teachers experiment on people. That's what my sister and I ended up playing. I can't remember what it's called. It's for PlayStation 2.
I don't know, but
you wouldn't know. It's okay. it's not a popular game.
And we God, 2011, Walking Dead Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Double cheese pizza.
Double cheese and bacon. I ate meat back then. I had a chance to get the mad cow disease back then. This is crazy because I'm... And so the episode's over. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. This is crazy because for those of you that have been following us for a little while, you know last May, I was at a beach in North Carolina. And I saw red lights in the sky, right? You know where I'm going with, because mm-hmm. I had this revelation before we started recording.
Yep.
And so that would have been 2021. I saw weird red lights moving irregularly over the water. And it was just completely bizarre. Like, they were moving like no planes I've ever seen. Freaked out. The running joke, I called Charlie. He was tired. You know, that's the joke.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so my wife had an experience in this house. And just throwing this out there, if anyone thinks that there's a chance that me and Charlie continually talking about paranormal topics could be...
Opening some kind of rift.
Yeah, like let us know what your thoughts on that, because me and Charlie's thoughts have changed over the last 6 months. But regardless, like, my wife had a sleep paralysis experience here, which then triggered a memory to... A memory she had 7 years ago at the same exact beach. And obviously this is 7 years before I saw the red lights, and well, it would have been 6 years before I saw the red UFO-ish lights in the sky. But what she remembers is she was sleeping and she saw a light, and the light, a bright white light, filled the bedroom at this beach, same beach in North Carolina. Bright light filled the room through the window, and then she heard a very high-pitched radio frequency, and then it was gone. And me, I'm sleeping through all this. But now I truly believe that this beach in North Carolina has alien UFO activity. So forget Hamilton, Montana. Forget the place you talked about last week.
Oh, the valley in Colorado.
Yeah. I'm going back to this beach.
I know.
I'm going to be there in a couple of months, and I'm gonna have a MUFON hat. I'm gonna write a book so I can become a ufologist. I'm going to be looking at the skies, man. And you better be drinking coffee.
I'm going to drink so many energy drinks just waiting for your calls.
I'm going to call you just as a test. Like, okay. I expect to call you. I'm like, yep, yeah, what'd you see? What'd you see? I'm like, nothing, just a test.
Okay.
Red alert. Have you had any crazy things?
Yeah. Yeah. My wife saw some shit. She saw a little shadow figure. I think it might be Faye.
See, I don't believe in Faye.
I don't believe in Faye. So
I don't
know.
I believe in shadow figures, though, and I believe in messed up shit.
It's like a 2 foot tall shadow figure, which is just like, oh, shit. Well, I don't know. That's the crazy thing that's happened in my house. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to do about it yet. Maybe just a lot of sage. I don't know.
Just start growing sage. Just
a lot of sage.
You grow sage? Is that what you do?
No.
What is sage?
Sage? I mean,
where does it come from?
You can grow sage.
Walmart?
It's in like a desert herb in the desert.
So we could grow it up here in the summer. It's about as hot as a desert.
But much more humid.
Oh, okay. That's true.
But anyway, if you like the show, you like hearing about zombies, and you want to leave a review for the show, please do. You can leave a 5-star on Spotify, or you can leave a review and a 5-star on Apple.
That's right.
Tyler, what do you do if you want to leave a 1-star?
If you want to leave a 1-star, I'm not going to go through the rant I did last week, but this is my suggestion for this and pretty much anything negative in life. Sleep on it. I would just sleep on it, think about it, wake up, and if the next day you still feel so adamantly that you want to leave a 1-star, you still have a chance not to do it.
But yeah. But, you know, if you want to leave a 5-star and say, oh, man, that's great.
Don't sleep on that. Get that shit out quick.
Great. Yeah, don't sleep on it.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. Also, if you want to rock the pod, as Charlie has said, in the
it's
past,
like a noogie in my soul.
In the past, go to believeinthebizarre.com, shop merch. It's going to be getting loaded with way more merch. That means we might be taking some stuff away. I'm not trying to do that. Like, it's exclusive, or it's like, act now before it goes away. I really have no idea what we're going to do with that store in the future. But I do know that we're going to have probably at minimum 8 or 9 new designs coming up in the next few months.
That's exciting.
It is incredibly exciting because it's been a little stale. It's been a little like bread.
Yeah.
It's like bread you left on your counter.
But we're getting some new crunchy stuff in there. Some really cool stuff.
And I still like the stuff in there now. I'm not trying to downplay it. I will always love our neon logo. Fun fact, and I've told a few people this on Instagram, I actually think I like that logo more than our actual artwork. That is our main episode. It was literally created by the same person, so I don't feel bad saying that. But anyway, if you just want to show people what you like, you know, rocking, because, you know, I get in those moods sometimes, right? Where you're like, you're really into something, whether it's a band, an artist, you know, musician, something like that, or actors don't really have their own merch, really, you know, but something like that. And you just like get the urge to want to wear something to show your support. We got some cool stuff. More cool stuff is coming. But above all, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you sticking with us for over an hour on an episode about zombies. And we really do appreciate the support. So thank you, everybody, so much. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre
podcast, as bizarre as you are.